We begin the current Dav Masechet Shabbos Dav Samach Gimel. We begin on the base. We begin with Teis de Masel. It begins the words of the Gemara. Vilu etzada. But whereas this band Tamehi, it's Tamei. Teis things to come to explain. Where do we actually know this idea that this etzada is Mekabel Toma? That is, the Mishnah had said one of the cases that a woman could go out with on Shabbos was this Biris, which two facts regarding it. One, that it's Tahar in the laws of Toma, and a woman's allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. So on that, in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, what is this Biris? It's Etzada. In other words, it's an armband. On that, Rabbi Yosef asked from our Mishnah, we said that this Biris is Tahira, whereas how could you say this is what it's, that Etzada is the Biris, if a Biris is Tahira, and this Etzada is Temeya, which the different masks of this Taisis. So Taisis brings that Pirsha Kunjas Rashi explains, how do you know that the Etzada is Temeya? Because the Chesib B'maisa Midyan, it says regarding the incident when the Jewish people looted Midyan after they conquered them. So when it talks about the vessels that they took, that it's other bitzamid, these different types of jewelry, one of them being the setzada. It says there in the pasuk tischato at mishavichem, that you have to purify the spoils of war, you and what you took, which obviously is telling us that setzada is makabel tuma. So therefore, how could you say that the biris is setzada if biris, our Mishnah says tahira, and setzada is makabel tuma? But Tay says, Valen here, that interpretation does not seem to be correct. Why? Because it's not a valid proof. Because dalkarcha tischato, because that pasuk that you bring of that you have to purify it, obviously it's loya kolashevi, because it's not talking about all the spoils of war, because da behemis nami have a beshevi. Some of the spoils of the war were animals, and they're not things that are susceptible to tumah. It's whatever is susceptible, you have to go ahead and purify it. But that's not indicative that also etzada is. Maybe that's like the animals, which are not makabel tumah. So why would that be rejection of the interpretation of beers? So rather, L'chein nearly says Taisis, it appears to me that what the Gemara's question is, that how do we know Etzad is Mekabel Tuma, is Meshum Dechzit. Because it says by a different part when it talks about the carbon that the commanders of the army were bringing, that they were bringing a carbon because, as a later Dav is going to say regarding the thing that they looked at inappropriately, but it says over there that all the golden vessels, and it says Etzad, it mentions Etzad over there. Now, it says subsequently over there that says v'yikach mehem kol klei ma'isa, that they took from them all the vessels that are made where the koyakola came shenokachu, that kol klei ma'isa going on all the vessels that they took and that it's mentioned over there regarding etzado, and that is v'yalfin lekamon, that the Gemara learns out from gzeres shava of kli mishratzim, which is that the kli ma'isa that it says by the karbonus of the pekudei ha'edom. Our Kalim, like we learned from Sheretz, that's Makabal Tuma, Hero says Makabal Tuma. And therefore, that's the source where you know definitively that the Tzada is Makabal Tuma. And therefore, that's the Gemara's question. How could you say that Beerus is the Tzada if Beerus is not Makabal Tuma and the Tzada is Makabal Tuma? Kunix Taste, the Master, begins the words of the Gemara. Beerus tachas etzada imedis. This Beera is in the place of where the Tzada is. Taste has come to explain what is this Beerus. And as the Gemara says, that, yeah, it's not the same exact thing. You're right. Biris is Tahira, Etzada is Mekabel Tuma. So what does it mean it's in the place of Etzada? So Pirush B'Kunjas Rashi explains, means B'Shoik, by the thighs, which means, say, just like the Etzada is a band by the arm, so too the Biris is also a band, but not on the arm, but rather on the thighs. But it's the same idea. That's on the arm, that's on the thighs. That means Tachas Etzada on the thighs. L'Hachzik Batei Shekel, to keep up her stockings, shleiplo, that they shouldn't fall down, but you're a shakao, and that her thighs will be seen. So that's the function of this beer, of this beers. Now, Taisa says v'kashla pirisim, but there's a difficulty according to this interpretation, because dimkain, if that's what beeris is, then bekavalim, then with a parallel type of a case, what's called kavalim, amai ein yaitzin. Why is a woman not allowed to go out with that, as the Mishnah tells us? On Shabbos, l'may desagata dechashta, according to what the Gemara assumes right now initially, dein chilek ben biris lekvalim, that there really is no different function between biris and kvalim. They're really the same thing. Elishazeba achas v'zebeshtayim, it's just that biris is on one leg, and kvalim is on both legs. So if that's the case, so then the kvalim you're telling me are also, let's say, a band or ring to hold up her stockings that they shouldn't fall down. And we're not concerned that she's going to come to take it off in Rishus HaRabim. So why could she not go out with the kvalim? You tell me anything that we're not concerned she's going to take off and show off, you're allowed to go out with. So that's why you're allowed to go out with Beerus. So why would we say initially that kvalim should not go out with? So therefore it says, nearly there it seems to me, the efshar litlam b'loigi l'shukim. Not like Rashi said. No, it's possible to take off the biris, the kvalim, the bands, without her stockings falling down. And that's why kvalim ain't yitzimen. That's why it's obvious the case of kvalim, why you cannot go out with it, because dilma shalvim machavi, she might take off these bands and show it off, because the tachshel anayim, it is an adornment for something that beautifies her, and it's a nice type of a band, and her stockings are not going to fall down, so she might come to show it off. Wait a second, so then Tosfos said, of a beerus. So why by beerus, let's say, are we saying that she could go out with it? Ah, says Tosfos, she ba'achas. Because that band is, like the Gemara initially assumes, kevalim and beerus the same thing, but kevalim is on both, beerus on one. Oh, since she only has one band for one stocking, lo yishalfa mechavik, she's not going to take it off and show it off. Dein zetachshin. That's not an ornament. Why? Why not? The key, it's beautiful. The kiven shein la'el ba'acha, since she only has one of them, so g'nahila, it's embarrassing. Meaning, you only have one band, what do you mean? You don't have them both legs? So it's the status is much lower, and therefore, since she doesn't have two, she's not going to take it off. And that's why, initially, we were saying that kvalim is permitted, but kvalim is forbidden, but beerus is permitted. Now, it says Taisa, moreover, mishamachi nicha. Now, based on what we say, it also makes sense, the beerus tahira. I mean, there's two elements to these halachas. One is a mekabel tumah, and one could you go out with it on Shabbos. So by beerus, we said, A, she could go out with it, and that it's tahira. Why does that make sense? Because the lav tachshel anayhu, the way we're describing it, since she only has one for one leg, not two, so it's not an ornament, like we said, because it's something that's embarrassing. And v'kli tashmash namali have it. It also does not function as something that's a utility for the woman herself, which generally, if you have something that serves the person, that also gives it a status of a vessel of mekabel tumah. No, because elikli hamashamish kli, it's a vessel that serves another vessel, because this band only functions as for the stockings. Dum the tabasa kli, just like the halacha of the ring of a vessel. If you have a ring, let's say on the handle of a vessel, the amalel, the Gemara tells us previously, tatar, because it only has a status if it functions in assisting a person, not a vessel. So therefore, it's going to be tar. And Bechem Pirsha Kunja, so the Rashi explains like this over there. Now, the time of the Kvalim Tameim, so now what's the reason why the Kvalim are Tamei? It's Mishum de Tachshit Heim Lanaik, the Pirish. It's because, not because it's functioning as utility for the person, you're right, it's also for the stockings. But since it's a beautiful thing, like we said, when she has the band on both legs, so that's an ornament for her, that's why we said we're concerned she might come to take it off, that's the same reason why it's considered a Tachshit for the woman, and therefore she might come to, and therefore that's why it's Makabal Tumma, and again, that's also why she might come to take it off, and therefore forbidden to go out with it, at least initially, the way the Gemara understands it, to Rishas Rama on Shabbos. The next text, the Master says, begins the words of the Gemara, V'chasav alav b'shnei shitin, and it was written on the tzitz on two lines, Yud hei molmalo, where it says Kodesh LaHashem, but the way it was written was had Hashem's name on the top line, but Kodesh Lam Lamata and Kodesh La, which is and Holy Four, that was on the bottom line. It comes to explain exactly how was this written on the tzitz. It says Nil Rabbein Tam. It seems to Rabbein Tam. Shayikasav Yud hei b'soiv shita reshayna. On the end of the first line, meaning the first part was empty, towards the end of the line, or going towards the one end of the forehead, it was written Hashem's name. But Kodesh Lamed b'tchil shita shniya, and the Kodesh LaHashem, which is on the bottom line, but it's in the beginning of the line. Oh, says to Hashem Nikuyaf, and now you can read it in like one straight line. It's just that you don't want to write Kodesh La before Hashem's name, so Hashem's name is on the top. But if you're reading from right to left, you could read it in the straight line. But says Taisu in Lafarish Kamashma, don't explain it the way it simply sounds like, which it sounds like that Hashem's name was on the top and right under it was Kodesh Lamed, because Dimkin in Nikar Kol Chasid, then you can't read it in a straight line, and therefore that wouldn't seem to be appropriate. Rather, yeah, Hashem's name is on the top, but at the end of the line, and Kodesh Lamed is on the bottom line, but in the beginning of the line. Next Taisu the Masle begins the words of the Gemara. Minayin La'arik Kol Shu Shutami. How do we know that something that's woven, even just a small amount of fabric, it's the mekabel tumah. Tamalayma oy baget. We know this from the extra word oy baget. Taisus, first of all, this taisus belongs later on after the maskel manayin latachshit. Additionally, taisus comes to explain first of all that when do we say that even a small amount that's woven is mekabel tumah, and also why don't we say that it cannot be it's not something that's movable carrying something what's called metalti malivarekan, and therefore why is it mekabel tumah? Which the Gemara had said, like taisus is saying that. Even the small amount that's woven is mekabel tumah, where it says by the parasha of Shratzim, it's tumah. It says oy beged. The word oy comes to include even our culture. And that as Tais from Taima, Tais has to take a second look. It says, but Vola Elba Perg, but Mamadlikin, the Gemara of Chavam and Av. Loi Marbin El Gimel Al Gimel, the Gemara learns out from the word Oi Beged, not even just woven, just a small amount. It has to be at least 3x3 Tvachim. And here we're saying, even if it's a small amount, how to resolve the contradiction. So it says, what you could say is like this. The Asa Mayri Bebom in Beged Gadol. There the Gemara was talking about, if you had a large garment, and you then have a remnant of that, that, to be significant, has to be 3x3 Tvachim. Aval Hacha, but over here, Mayri Ba'ar Koshu, you went and you initially wove it this small amount. Initially, your intention was not to make it any more than that. Yeah, that's considered significant, even if it's smaller than 3x3 Tvachim, even if it's just a Koshu. Now, and Tais explains. So, what do you mean? Which one do you learn out from that pasuk? From Oi, V'tavayu Shemin Ma'i Beged. So, Tais, and you learn out both of them from the same word Oi. Because the Shkul Mem, they're both equivalent, the Chashav Koshu, Arg Mitchilim, because the significance of even a small amount that was woven initially to be like this is kamai gimel gimel mebeged gadol. It really is the equivalent of 3x3 tvachim. That's a remnant from a large one. They both have the same significance because really 3x3 is the minimum. But that's only if it's like a leftover. If you initially made even a small amount, that would be the same thing. And therefore, both of them can be learned out from the word ay. Now, but then the Tema Tesis has to take a second look. He says vakati, but still beged koshu. A small garment, like you're saying, even what's called koshu, lama hu tame, why is it mekabel tuma? But the problem is, v'be'ina she'ataltam mole v'rekim, we require that a garment needs to be, that it could be movable, both full, with meaning has contents inside of it, and empty. Where do we know this? Dumi de sak, because the pasuk equates a garment of a beggar to a sackcloth, and just like a sackcloth is something that is meant to be carried with things inside of it, so too, all these other fabrics have to have that capacity. Problem is, if it's just a kosher minute amount, there's no receptacle that you can't put anything in it. So why is it mekabel tumah? So it says, what you can say is that, it has to be at least something. The rohu locha v'lekabel, that it is at least fit, that you could bend it over a little bit. And v'likach b'margolis le'machin, and put in it mamash, a pearl, a small little thing, or a needle, that it has to be at least, even though we're saying a minute amount, it has to be, you're right, at least big enough that you could put something inside of it. But then Tais has to take another look. Remember, tell me if you're going to say, if that's the case, then should declare, then when you have a halacha, what's called the flat piece of leather, amai tahirin, why does the Gemara elsewhere tell us that it's tahar? Because it's not metaltim olivar eikon, because it does not have a receptacle, it's pshut declare. Hare ruin lehem lekabel b'shem dava, but it is fit to fold it over and be receptacle for something kamai halacha, like we're saying over here. So says Yeshua, what you could say is yes, the Ma'ariv Ba'ar Shalik, but that when we say regarding the Pshut Deklar, that's not Mekabel Tumah, it's talking about where it was boiled, the hide, and Shehu Kasha, where it's hard, and you're right, it's not, you can't bend it, and therefore cannot be receptive. Well, you're right, if it was soft, then you're right, it would be Mekabel Tumah. So Taisus had asked, why over here are we including our kosher Lekabel Tumah? But I always said initially that on the previous staff has to be 3x3 Tvachim. So he says that's when it's coming from a remnant from a larger garment. Then it has to be 3x3 tvachim. But when it was initially woven to be like this, even a small amount is going to be mekabel tumah. And we learn them both out from the word oikid, they're really equivalent. Additionally, Tais asked, but if it's our kosher, it's not metaltim olive reikin, which is a prereq, as we learn out from comparison to sak, to be mekabel tumah. So Tais says, no, it is fit to be able to bend it over and have like a small little pearl inside of it. And therefore, Tais concludes that you're right, that even though we say that pshut declare not mekabel tumah, it's only when it was boiled. But if it's not, then actually would be mekabel tumah for the svar that we just said. The master begins the words of the Gemara. Minayin l'tachshut kol shu tameh. How do we know that an ornament, even that it's a small amount, it's going to be mekabel tumah? Which just comes to explain that why don't we learn it out from the tabas of the clay midyan? That is, Gemara asked, where do we know that a tachshut, even if it's however small it is, it's going to be mekabel tumah? The Gemara says we learn it from the tzitz. But what bothers Tais is, when Tameh Tais asks to take a second look, he says, what do you mean? Typically, the tachshut kol shu tameh, it's sufficient to know that an ornament, no matter how small it is, it's going to be mekabel tumah. One of the clay midyan that we say that they require purification because the mekabel tumah is a ring. A ring is a small ornament. So it's Tameh Tais, what you could say, yes, but the afshut shat tabas, it's possible to say that the ring over there, a midyan, he up of a gedol ma'id. Maybe it was a thick and large ring. But lo have a kosher, it wasn't a small amount. The tzitz, we know it's very small, and therefore, we're learning out from the tzitz. Here next says the Maslid begins the words of the Gemara, orig v'tachshin, woven and an ornament. Which Tais comes to prove that although we say that even if it's a kosher, it's not precise kol shu. It has to be at least a little bit of a measurement. Because what Tais is going on, the Gemara that said that if it's woven and an ornament, even if it's a small amount, it's mekabel tum. So Tais says, Pirish, what that means to say is, what do you mean it's arg and takshin? Chetzi arg v'chetzi takshin. If even half of it is woven, half of it is an ornament, that's what this article is. Tum is mekabel tum. Now, says Tais is, but mekam mashman for here, it sounds like the mekamokam be'ina and shir ketzas. Although we're saying even the kosher, what means a minute amount, has to have somewhat of a measurement. And Tosfos says an interesting concept. It says, dimlekim, because if that wasn't the case, chetzi the kosher mayhava, how could you have something half of a minute amount? Minute amount is a small thing. So saying half of something means to say there is something substantial enough that you could put in half, and half being woven, half being attached, and therefore it must mean that it's not literally the smallest element possible, because then you wouldn't have a half of that. So obviously it's something big enough that you could have half arig and half tash. The next stage of the master begins words of the Gemara. Who that? The Midian Ksiv. That was in the parsha of Midian. Stage can explain what the Gemara's question and also the subsequent answer differently than the way Rashi says. And as the Gemara said, that how do we know that something that's woven and an ornament, even a small amount, is mekabel tuma? Oh, because it says by Midian, it says that they took these clay called clay miso, which, oh, from kol klimais, the word kol tells us even if it's a minute amount of a oregon attach. That the Gemara asks, which Tais de Maskel, what do you mean? That's tumah by Midian. So what's the Gemara's question? So Pesach and Rashi explains, what do you mean? Ube Midian, havye tumas mes. There, the purification of the vessels were from all the dead people that were killed in the war. And that's what we were saying, that they have to go ahead and purify it. Problem is, v'sheretz mimeis layolov lahachmer, you cannot learn out the halachas that we're coming to say, for even like a tumah of shratzim, to learn out from the tumah of mes, which is more stringent, because the mala mes, over there by the parasha of Midian, where it's regarding dead people, so that tumah maybe is going to be even, let's say, like we're saying for Oregon and the Takshad Kalshu, which is a stringency, because the Malam is what we find by a dead person, Shekin Tumah Chamura, it's a severe level of Tumah, where it contaminates for even 7 days, has certain stringencies. How could you even compare it to the Tumah Sheretz, which is a Tumah Kala? So on that, the Gemara answers, according to Rashi's interpretation, Gomer Kli Kli Misheretz. Oh, you're right. We wouldn't know it, but it's Xerish Shava. Pirish, what's Xerish Shava? Makli Ama B'Sheretz, just like when it says a vessel by Sheretz. Mitame B'Sheretz, whatever's mentioned over there, is has the halach of Tumah by Sheretz. Av Kli Amar Khan, so too when it says Kli over here by the Kli Midian, where it says also the word Kli, Mitame B'Sheretz, will also have the Tumah by Sheretz. So therefore, that's how we know, although here it's by the context of mess, but the Xerish Shava tells us whatever's Tumah over here will also be by Sheretz, which again includes this Arg V'Taksha Kol Shu from the fact that it says Kol Kli Mais. However, in this interpretation of Rashi, it says of a kush, it's difficult. Because Dim Kane, if this was the Gemara's question, the way Rashi says it, Havalila Mifrich, the wording of the Gemara should have been different. It shouldn't have said, like our Tais Dim Maskel says, Hahu B'Midian Ksiv. No, it should have said, Hahu B'Tumas Mes Ksiv, because that's not because of the relevancy of Midian. The relevancy is that because there is mess and you're trying to learn that to, let's say, something like Sheretz. Void, moreover, another question Tais has is, Ki Meshani Gamar Kli Kli, when the Gemara then gives the answer and says, okay, so how do we know it? We know from Xeris Shava. From Kli by Shratzim, to say that the same thing over here when it says Kli by Midyan, that it's going to say the same halacha. Why using this Xeris Shava? Havale Lishnuye, the Gemara should have answered, Gamar Begid Va'arli Xeris Shava. Because this is actually the Xeris Shava the Gemara says later on, that we say that we know by Thomas Master, we learned it from Thomas Sheretz, which here it says Begidvar and here it says Begidvar. So why are we picking a new Xer Shava of Kli Kli? So because of that, Tais gives a different interpretation. It says, L'chein nearly different appears to me that the Hahu B'Midian Ksiv, the Gemara's question says, what do you mean? That is said in the context of by Midian. What the Gemara means to say is that Bishalal Midian. It's talking about by the spoils of war of Midian, meaning it's just talking about what they took in spoils of war, and it's not talking in the context of the laws of Tumah. So therefore, that's specific to say that's by Midian, meaning by spoils of war, and not regarding a halacha of parsha of Tumah at all. It's not talking about Tumah over there. So v'heichi yalav da'arg v'takshay kol shu tameh, how could you learn out to say that even if it's woven or it's an ornament, no matter how small it is, mikol klei ma'isa, from the extra word kol, that means, oh, what's kol come to say everything, even though it's a small amount. What do you mean? But when it talks about Kokli Maizav, it's just about spoils of wars, not about laws of Tumah. How can you learn laws of Tumah from that pasuk? That's Mishnah. That's what the Gemara answers. Gamar Kli Kli. What do you mean? Like Taisa asks, why learn this Gezer Shavu, not another one? So says Taisa Pierce, what the Gemara is answering is, Ki Heche the Kli Dachsiv Gabi Shratzim. Just like when it says the word Kli by the parasha of Tumah of Shratzim. My relinion tumah. So, in the context of tumah, hachanami here also klidach zivgav midyan. When it says the word kli b'midyan leinyan tumah, see, right? It's not the classic zer shava over here. It says begiv ar. Here it says begiv ar, because that's not the point. We want to tell you, how do you know that over there by midyan it refers to tumas mes? That's from the when it says the word kli by kli by shratzim. It tells us that that means tumas mes. Here also means tumas mes, and therefore now the it means tumas mes. So therefore, that's how you can learn out from those kalim to the halacha of shratzim, which are also by kalim, to say that whatever including over there for tumas mes, here also we're including for the laws of tumas mes.